In complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us. And ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the chapter we read in Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 14, and the first clause of verse 19. Romans chapter 14, the first clause of verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Let us therefore follow after the things that make for peace. This verse, again, as that word we looked at this morning, to follow. Let us therefore follow after. And this word follow in the Greek is equivalent to the word in the Hebrew we heard. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of my life, as David said. It doesn't mean just to be behind somebody, seeing which way they go. It's in the context of the example I briefly gave of someone following after strong drink, or following after the lusts of their own heart, following to be involved in and to do that which one desires to do, what one is committed to do. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Solemnly, there's many things which people seek to do, and maybe we ourselves, certainly at times, which do not make for peace. But dear friends, this peace, if we are to seek for those things which make for peace, has to have a foundation. And that foundation for peace is not found in ourselves. That foundation of peace, dear friends, we may come in our minds to many things which we may do. But the foundation of it is in accordance with our own interests, in accordance with our own intellect, for the goodness of our own selves. Let us do that which makes for peace. But dear friends, if that foundation is just of ourselves, our sinful selves, it won't be a lasting peace. It will be something which soon fails, something which is overturned by something else what arises, and we change and our behaviour changes. In our flesh we are so fickle, we are so false, we are inconsistent. We behave in our flesh and according to the circumstances which immediately surround us. And our hearts, which are affected, and they bring forth from them our thoughts, words and deeds, they're deceitful. They're desperately wicked, as the scripture tells us. Those are not my words. I have such a heart within myself by nature. The foundation of this peace is the peace which is through Jesus Christ. When Christ came into this world, it was declared by the angels, peace on earth goodwill toward men. Dear friends, that was a spiritual peace. That was a peace within that passes understanding. It's a peace, dear friends, which has to be revealed within us by the truth, through the truth as it is in Jesus by the Holy Ghost. Before Jesus suffered on the cross, he said to his disciples, "My peace I leave with you." Well, dear friends, that wasn't to be their peace in their own minds. He was saying to them he was to depart. And they were going to have sorrow. They would all forsake him and flee. And yet, he says, "My peace I leave with you." He said, although he would depart, they would see him again, and their sorrow would be turned into joy. And dear friends, that was to be revealed by the Holy Spirit to them. Joy through the Holy Ghost of the truth as it is in Jesus. For when Christ died, he was taken. Yes, they forsook him and fled. But in his sufferings, in his death, which was seem to be the end of their hope, the hope of the redemption of Israel, which they considered would come to pass here upon this earth through Jesus. Dear friends, through his sufferings, his death, and his resurrection, came that peace. That death, which was the payment demanded by the law for sin. Crying out, "It is finished." The work the Father gave Christ to do was done. He was laid in the grave, as if that was now the end of all things, and the stone rolled. And those two on the Emmaus Road, oh, they were sad and sorrowful. They could not understand all these things. But Christ in his resurrected power drew near and opened unto them the truth concerning him in all the scriptures as the Old Testament. Their heart burned within them. And as they reached Emmaus, he revealed himself to them who he was, the risen Jesus. He rose and revealed himself first to Mary Magdalene, calling her by her name, Mary. Oh yes, she could say there, couldn't she? As if we find it in Isaiah. "Fear not, I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine." Oh, her sorrow was turned into joy. Her weeping for sorrow was now weeping for joy. And those in the upper room where Christ appeared that same evening, "Why, peace be with you," he said. "Peace be with you. Peace be unto you." And he showed them his hands and his feet. The revelation of his sufferings. The revelation of his death. But now risen again from that tomb. The stone had rolled away. Christ rose again and was revealed to all those at that time for whom he died. This is what is revealed in the scriptures. He opened up to them their understanding. He says, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And dear friends, that truth, oh, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, sinners such as themselves, now entered into their heart, Their ignorance and darkness in that knowledge was turned into light and was turned into joy, was turned into peace. Their pardon sealed, their peace with God. Dear friends, this is the foundation, isn't it? The foundation of our peace. Or we think of Peter. Poor Peter, who had denied his Lord with oaths and curses. 3 times saying, "I know not the man." And when the cock crew, he remembered what Jesus had said to him. "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me 3x. He was a liar. Oaths, curses, spoken, a blasphemous. He was worthy of death, judgment under the holy law of God. No wonder Peter wept bitterly. Oh, sin became a real deep matter concerning him. Although he had followed Christ, he said, "We have left all and followed thee." Dear friends, he was still a sinner in the flesh. The spirit may have been willing, but the flesh was weak. Oh, how great was his iniquity. But now Christ had risen. He had died, he had risen, he'd come again. There was no judgment. Oh, the Lord had put away his judgments. He'd borne the punishment instead. And now he had come and showed to him the way of eternal life. Not the redemption of Israel here upon this in this world, but the redemption of the spiritual Israel. Not the Jews in the flesh, but the Jews of the spirit. They that are circumcised of heart, not in the flesh. Those who are taught by the Spirit. Oh, to leave these hateful ways of sin. Sin becomes exceedingly sinful. And they look unto Jesus, what he has done, the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world. Oh, dear friends, this is the foundation of peace, true peace, everlasting peace. A peace that warms the heart, brings joy to the heart, that where Christ himself endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy that was set before him, he had conquered the power of sin. Satan was now no longer a foe of his people, of the Lord's people. Yes, well, I suppose we could say he's still a foe, but he will have no victory. He's defeated foe. And they shall have life eternal. The joy of the Lord is their strength, is their peace, is their everlasting all. Oh, dear friends, it's a wonderful thing, you know, to know this peace, this evidence of our pardon sealed, peace with God. He causes us to rejoice in Christ, our Saviour. He causes us to love him who has first loved us. It changes our heart. It renews our will. You see, this teaching is by the Holy Spirit. And it has effect upon us. We read, don't we, in Paul's epistle to the Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And other things as well, but the first one is peace. Why, it's Christ in you. The evidence of his love, his pardoning love. It's testified that Jesus was a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, the king of Salem. The King of Peace. Wasn't his name declared by Isaiah? The coming of the woman, of the son of the woman, the virgin. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Therefore, dear friends, this first teaching here is spiritual. Let us follow after, let us be mindful of those things which make for peace, to seek the forgiveness of our sins, to seek the truth as it is in Jesus, to be known within our heart. That's the pathway of prayer, isn't it? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, reveal that love of thine within my heart. Oh, teach me what I am of myself. Show me that lovely man that now rules the courts of bliss. Show me that it was for me he came, even upon this earth, and bore my sins on Calvary's cross. Lord, undertake for me. That word undertake meaning be a surety for me. Pay the price of that which I cannot pay myself. The payment demanded by the law for sin. Oh, we can only die under it, can't we? Not just in the flesh, but in our soul, the second death. Oh, but this Jesus came to give us peace. A peace, dear friends, that by faith looks unto him and knows that he hath gone before us into heaven to present us when he comes again and in the day of judgment, faultless before the Father's face. And there will be never-ending, everlasting peace. Oh, dear friends, this is the vital thing, dear friends, which we should attend to. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Dear friends, what is first and foremost in our hearts and our desires? Is it Jesus and him crucified and risen again for our justification? Oh, what does Paul say regarding that in chapter 5? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, where there's such peace with God, there is now no condemnation. No condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Those that believe in him with all their heart and trust in him by faith and look beyond the things of time to the things that are eternal. Oh, he that hath eternal joys to give. Oh, dear friends, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Dear friends, with this foundation, the knowledge of Christ and him crucified, to blot out all our transgressions, to love us freely, is our peace in all things, at all times. In this world, in our experiences of this world, we shan't have peace. Yes, we have to be thankful where there are those days of peace. We read Psalm 23 this morning, where David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He is the shepherd of these for whom Christ died. He is the shepherd. He will lead them aright. He will lead them at times. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He will lead them in those green pastures. He will give you times of a joy and peace in this world, and the things which we have to be so thankful for. Our homes, our families, yes. And in our nation, we've had peace, haven't we, now for 80 years. And we've lived prosperously and had many things to enjoy. And the things, the daily labours of life, physically today, are far less than they were many years ago. But we're still born for trouble as the sparks fly upwards. That will ever remain the same. We live in a sin-cursed earth. Satan is still a mighty foe. He has not yet been cast into that hellfire forevermore. Oh, the book of the Revelation tells us that will be in the day of judgment, when he is cast out there. He walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we are to experience tribulations, troubles. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, says Peter. But this man shall be the peace. That is what the scripture tells us. We read it in Micah, don't we? Concerning the coming of Jesus being born in Bethlehem. And when the Assyrian shall come into the land, the enemy, the one who would captivate us, of the enemy of God's truth. When he shall come in, he would have the power over us left to ourselves. Or we can be easily deceived, easily beguiled. But this man shall be the peace. This Jesus. This Son of God. This one ordained to be the saviour of sinners. This man shall be the peace. In other words, dear friends, he will fight our battles for us as we commit them unto him. Well, we have many examples, don't we, of the power of prayer. You know, when we come into troubles, left to ourselves, we're rebellious. We'll fight against them in a way which only can add sin to our sin. We will only add to the strife and divisions and everything what may come to pass. But dear friends, where we committed to the Lord in prayer, trust in him humbly. Oh Lord, do fight this battle for me. Lord, do appear for our help. Increase my faith to trust in thee. We know not why these things have come, but may they work together for good. May they strengthen me in my faith. May they be amongst that which is spoken in thy word, tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. Experience hope, and hope that maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Did Christ our Lord suffer, and shall we repine? Oh, dear friends, this humility, which is peace. And Paul writing, he knew much of tribulation, didn't he? Writing to the Philippians, he says, be careful, be full of care for nothing, but with prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall rule your heart and mind by Christ Jesus. Knowing, dear friends, that nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing can shake this foundation of your hope of eternal life. This is your peace, that whatever mankind or what circumstances can do to us, there is still that sure and steadfast covenant of his grace. Once in him forever, thus that eternal covenant stands. Oh, we may have to suffer much, we don't know what. We have a lot to be thankful for, where perhaps days go by one, and we're at a relative ease. And oh, dear friends, we have to be so careful then, don't we? So careful that we do not become prayerless. So careful that we do not then forget God. We can even be persuaded that because of our own righteousness and goodness and behaviour and moral upright, the Lord is letting us have this ease and benefits and prosperity. Dear friends, it's in these times of difficulties when we need more and more the God of peace, a peace that passeth our understanding, that he should be mindful of us, given us that sweet hope and assurance of eternal life. Oh, that'll strengthen us. That'll give us strength to bear things sufficient for the day, strength sufficient, as he has promised to give. And he won't let you be tempted above what you're able. No, dear friends, the more we receive of that grace, the greater there may be the trials. But he won't let us be tempted above what we're able. He will, with that temptation, make that way to escape. Well, dear friends, that way to escape is twofold. The way to escape, yes, is committed to the Lord in prayer. Be careful for nothing. In prayer, supplications, those specific petitions, which demand his help and relief in our troubles. And then there's the answer, which he will bring to pass. Oh, he will make that way to escape. It'll be his work. Oh, like it was with Jehoshaphat. We love that part, don't we? When the enemy, it wasn't the Assyrian, no, it was the Ammonites and those of Mount Seir and such who came to fight against Jehoshaphat. A great army, over twice the size of his own, with iron chariots, and you would naturally say there's no hope for Jehoshaphat. But he committed it to the Lord in prayer. We have no might against this company, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon to thee. But he did know what to do, didn't he? What he meant, he did not know what to do physically, but he did know what to do spiritually. Committed to the Lord in prayer. And dear friends, the Lord gave the answer, that the Lord would fight his battle for him. He still had to go out and face the enemy. He wasn't relieved from doing that. But because of the promise of the Lord, it wasn't the soldiers who went first to fight the enemy. It put the priests and those who praised God first of all. He had trusted by faith in the promise. And when they came to the site which was to be the battlefield, oh, the enemies had fought against themselves. There was no one, nothing to do, should I say, except take the spoil which they'd left behind. All these things are left on record for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Peace comes by faith, doesn't it? The exercise of faith. The exercise of trust in the Lord. Let us therefore follow after those things which make for peace. The peace of our hearts, the peace of our soul. Trusting in the Lord at all times. And dear friends, where we have this foundation of peace, the fruit of the Spirit within us is peace. Then if we live in the Spirit, the Scripture says, let us walk in the Spirit. Our outward walk to be for peace. That means, dear friends, that when we deal one with another, we're not to deliberately stir up strife, division, anger, wrath. Oh, that peace and that mercy and that grace of the Lord within us is to have influence on our conversation and our manner of action. Oh, is it in Paul's epistle to the Colossians where he says, I can write it, quote it properly, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. What an exhortation that is. That was to the church at Colossae. Well, our text is in the church to Rome. Paul writes to many of these epistles about peace. He even writes to the Hebrews concerning peace. Not just amongst yourselves, but follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Then we need the Spirit of the Lord to rule our hearts, don't we? For when people may rise against us and say all manner of things evil, falsely against us, then, dear friends, when we're reviled, are we to revile again? Are we to retaliate? No. It's worse, Peter, isn't it? When the Christ was reviled, he reviled not again, but he committed it unto him that judgeth righteously. Christ, the Son of God, he who is of the Godhead, when he was made man, lower than the angels, made like unto his brethren, made like unto us, when he was reviled, he committed it to his Father in prayer. Oh, dear friends, let us not ignore the example of Christ when he was humbled himself to come and dwell upon this earth for the suffering of death, to put away our sins, that we may have his peace, this peace that passeth our understanding, and to follow in his steps. Oh, to follow after Christ. Oh, as were many follow evil to do it, let us follow Christ, after Christ, to be ruled by his Spirit within our hearts. That Spirit, as the hymn writer puts it, to govern our words and ways, and his grace to abound in every part, and teach our tongues to sing his praise. You know, dear friends, it's most solemn, because these are words to the churches, when strife and division and upsets comes amongst the people of the professing church. You cannot say it's of the Spirit of Christ, can you? It's of the spirit of one's own self. The Spirit of Christ within will seek one to make for peace. Oh, in this chapter we've read, Romans chapter 14, there's many exhortation, warning against judging one another. Even at the beginning, he that is weak in faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Oh, how easily we can doubt and dispute one with another concerning whether one is really a Christian or not. Who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Dear friends, we're to pray one for another, aren't we? The scripture says that. Oh, those, dear friends, who know Christ as their Lord and their Saviour. Oh, the desire within is for peace, that others will know that same peace for their own heart and soul. We're to pray one for another. And dear friends, when disputes arise, what's the exhortation? James is very bold. He says, confess your sins one to another. Not point one to another's sins and then act as your own righteousness. And oh, if we do not cast out the beam that is in our own eye, how can we see to cast the mote that is in another's eye? Christ didn't tell these things as if they were not truths. That's our nature, isn't it? To judge and point the finger at others and stand that we are better than they. No, we're to pray for them. That if they are in the ways of sin, if they are in the ways of unrighteousness, if they have been left to fall, if their weak has become faith, a faint, dear friends, we're to pray the Lord will strengthen them and cause them to stand. And then to be joined together again in the glory of the Lord. Oh, confessing our sins. Confessing them one to another. Then let it be healed, says James. Confess your sins. Oh, we're all the same under the eye of God. We're all sinners. And the judgment is not in accordance with the magnitude of sin. It doesn't say some are judged more terribly because of their greater sin than those who have lesser sins. We're all sinners. The soul that sinneth even in one point is the same as if they're guilty in all. Such is the holiness of God. Oh, dear friends, how these things should be meditated and considered within our own hearts. What we are in our nature. And to seek this peace. Peace which is of God. And peace one amongst another. That he might be honoured and glorified. In the unity of the church. For the Apostle Paul, didn't he, writing to the Corinthians. Said, I'm determined to know nothing amongst you. Save Jesus Christ. And him crucified. There's the peace. And dear friends, that's what we should strive for ourselves. Here at Hope Chapel Stotfold and with others of other churches to seek that which makes for peace. Peace amongst ourselves. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. You know, dear friends, this is the peace which will only bring true a peace amongst the nations. We have, don't we, a terrible conflict between the Jews and the Gentiles in the Middle East. And there's many ways in which the leaders of both those nations, or more than one, two nations really, make for peace. Well, if they do make for peace, they come to a cessation of conflict, a period of when there will be no active warfare, and so on. But dear friends, that's peace where there is no peace, because that will not stand, and it often does not stand, does it? There's the negotiations which take place. Oh, each trying to gain the upper hand and to achieve one's aims over against the other before they will even consider a peace. And how long do those peace last, even if they do achieve it? We read in Ephesians chapter 2, between Jews and Gentiles, for he is our peace. who hath made both one, that's Jews and Gentiles, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You see, the Jews have a strong partition. That partition is their standing as the children of Israel, the sons of Jacob, to which was given the law and the prophets and the coming of the Messiah. And everyone else is heathen. Everyone else is outside, their dogs. And to the Gentiles, oh dear friends, the hatred of that stance of the Jews, it ever has been, hasn't it? And the Gentiles, unbelievers by nature in Christ, they're dead in trespasses and in sins, walking in according to the course of this world, to the prince of the power of the air, the prince that now worketh in the spirit of disobedience, or the spirit of Antichrist in the Gentile races, but also the neglection of the Christ, the Son of God, by the Jews. Dear friends, how far they are off apart, and there's a great division between the two. It's only that saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ revealed in their hearts by the Holy Ghost that will bring about a peace. He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Because then, dear friends, the things of this world, when we know Christ as our peace, become of less importance. They have importance for our bodies and our responsibilities upon the earth, of course they do. But they're a lesser importance than our soul's salvation. He hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. We seek first then that kingdom of God to be reigned within us by the Spirit of God, to walk in the tender fear of the Lord, to do that which is just, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God, and through that we endeavour to maintain a peace and a prosperity in the fear of the Lord. My dear friends, what distresses and divisions and strifes do we have in our lives? We've perhaps got many. I trust they're outside of the church, though. But we still must pray for peace. Follow peace with all men. Oh, not to do that deliberately which aggravates distresses and divisions and strifes, but to commit it unto the Lord who judgeth righteously, to be a Jehoshaphat, to commit it unto the Lord in prayer. Oh, to be in the Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Dear friends, if that help comes from the Lord, it'll be for your peace. Or you'll rejoice in Christ your Saviour when he appears to break down the strife, division, whatever is affecting you. We're to pray for our enemies, aren't we? Yeah, seek peace with all men. Pray for your enemies. We're exhorted to love those that rise against us. Do good to them. Oh, to heap coals of fire upon their heads. Dear friends, there comes the blessing. Oh, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Dear friends, they don't become children of God because they're peacemakers. They are the children of God, therefore are they peacemakers. It's an evidence of being a child of God, one who makes for peace. And that involves much prayer. It involves much supplication. It involves much patience, much perseverance, even suffering of things against us, but not to retaliate, not to overcome evil by evil. Christ didn't do that, did he? Oh, whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, that condescending love. May the Spirit of Christ rule in our heart. Take heed to his word. Oh, to follow after that which makes for peace, and that joy and rejoicing, oh, be in our hearts, to be there all our days, and our ends be everlasting peace. As it said, isn't it? Is it David in his Psalm 37? Mark the perfect man. Who is the perfect man? Christ Jesus. And those in the eyes of the Father for whom Christ died. And that dying love, that redeeming love has been shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Ghost. And that has the influence of them in their daily lives. Are walking out of that peace that they have received, that their hope is in heaven above. Mark him, the evidence, the witness of these things. Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. The end of that man is peace. Therefore, let us follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another, do good one for another. All the glory to God, not to ourselves. Dear friends, may the Lord maintain us here in peace. We thank the Lord for the peace we enjoy. Let us pray that it will remain. Seeking, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, things wherewith one may edifying another, seeking to know nothing amongst us, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen.